They didn't say much, took me by the arm, led me into the elder farmer's wife's house, and I stood there. I saw that her spirit was now leaving her body. I had to watch and I was afraid. I would have loved to get up and leave, but it was simply impossible. I was, so to speak, surrounded by these others, and they had such a stern look, I hardly dared to look to the right or left. I just kept looking straight ahead to cover my face so that she wouldn't see it. Then the moment came when it had happened and the elder farmer's spirit had left her body. Those who were helping quickly made a few strokes over her with their hands. I even saw how someone wiped her face with a fine cloth and how her eyes suddenly grew big. And she was not as old as she had been. I myself had the feeling that I was not so old anymore. The elder farmer's wife was, looked as I remembered, the same as she had been in her younger years. She stood there and stared at me. And I lowered my eyes, because I thought, the others will sort it out. Now there is no more denial, now I can no longer deny it, I must now own up to what I have done. I was just ashamed. She saw me and probably also saw my guilt, but strangely she took no notice of me. Perhaps she was a little too dazed at first. She disappeared with the others and I was happy. I went back to my house and stayed there for a while. But what did I have to experience? Suddenly I saw her. The elder farmer's wife came into my house, towards me and stared at me. There was no one else nearby, and because I felt unobserved, I said, "Hey, this is my house. That is your house, you have no business here." And she said, "I will stay here as long as I like. And I will tell everyone who comes and goes in and out of this house who you were and what you did." I replied, "But that is not necessary. You do not need to say what I did, because everyone will see it anyway." "No," she said, "I will say it too." Now I felt uncomfortable. But what could I do? Other spirits came into the house again, and the elder farmer's wife stopped each one and explained, "Look, she was the crown farmer's wife, and she had thrown a stone at my boy and injured him so badly that he was damaged for the rest of his life, and she denied it. Now she must pay for it, this crown peasant woman." Well, she was not doing any better, she was still so full of envy and hatred, and she denounced me to everyone. I didn't care anymore. I tried to avoid her, but she always stood behind me. And then one of these beauties passed by the road again, I stopped him, I held his hand and said, "I beg you," I knelt down and said to him, "I beg you, please forbid the lovely peasant woman from coming into my house. I want my peace now, and I want to pay for what I have done unjustly." Then this being turned to me and said to me, "That is destiny, you will have to make peace with her. You would do better to ask her for forgiveness, and you would do better to ask God for forgiveness." Yes, I should ask for forgiveness. That was difficult for me. I wanted to ask God to forgive me, but I didn't want to do it in front of her. I wasn't capable of that. I had the impression that if God had forgiven me, it would also be forgiven in front of this older farmer's wife. So she was always in my way, and that took a long time. But finally I considered whether it wouldn't be a good idea to ask her for forgiveness. Because I had the feeling that she was chained to me, I to her and she to me. And then I asked her once, I said to her, "Don't you think it would be good if we shook hands in peace?" She replied, "One cannot forget something like that so quickly, even when one has died. You shall not be freed from here so quickly, just stay here a little, I will not open up a path for you to freedom." This was her answer. So I had to wait and wait for the opportunity until another more beautiful being came. Such people kept coming. They were always coming and going. Each time I took the opportunity to speak to one and ask for someone to help me so that this elder farmer's wife would no longer be angry with me and forgive me, I would be willing to take something upon myself and make amends for what I had done. Finally, a being I had asked agreed to help me, but first it had to have a few conversations with me. If I agreed to this, then my path would be accelerated, and this disagreement could be cleared away in time. Yes, I was ready. I had been in this house for a long time, where so much was happening that I could not enjoy. I wanted to free myself from it. Then came these conversations with this beautiful being. It was an angel, and he judged me, so to speak. He spoke about the life I had lived, he spoke about my future and about the great guilt, the transgression, the spite, the quarrelsomeness and everything that had just happened. I should change my feelings. Because as long as my thoughts were still tied to this deed and to my relatives in general, there was no possibility for me to become free. I should turn to God now. It was high time to do so, because this world in which I was God's world, and God's power stood over it. God decides, and those who are subordinate to Him and carry out His orders must be obeyed. They will keep order. I was ready for anything, because I wanted to finally escape from this environment. But I had to get this farmer's wife to the point where she could forgive me. Then, on the recommendation of this angel, I began to pray. I also begged the farmer's wife to pray with me that God would forgive us both for what we had done to each other. But she could not agree to this. Then I asked the angel, "You go to her and talk to her, because things cannot go on like this." And the angel went to her and talked to her and said, "You will not be free from this environment until you can overcome and forgive in the depths of your soul the injustice that has been done to you. You have to forgive it, and if you can forgive that, then anything else you have done wrong will be forgiven too." Then she said she would make an effort, she would try to forget and forgive. The angel also said he would give her time, and he also recommended that she should take her time. But that wasn't so pleasant for me. But then I learned to pray properly. And then I could actually see that I suddenly had a completely different group around me. Beings who I had the feeling were spiritually higher came to me. They started a conversation with me, they even offered to help me, to pray with me and to stay with me, to support me. At first I refused, but later, I said, "Yes, of course. Stay with me, that will definitely make an impression on the older farmer's wife." And so we went to her together one day. I begged her again to give me her hand and forgive me. Then she did it, she gave me her hand and promised that she had forgiven me. Then I was allowed to leave this plane. I came to my other spirit brothers and sisters, I met my parents, my husband, many acquaintances, and even my grandparents. There was a reunion, a joyful reunion. They knew that peace had now been made between me and the farmer's wife, and they were happy about it. But the farmer's wife, I still call her that, was also allowed to leave her house. But we had to live next to each other in the world beyond. We were advised not to worry about people anymore, not to be interested in what was happening on earth and what our relatives were doing. We should leave this to the guiding spirits, and if it became necessary, we would always be informed about special events. And if one of our relatives then came into the spirit world, we would also be asked to be there at their reception. Well, we had made peace with each other and our closeness no longer bothered us. We considered each other as sisters. We had forgiven each other, we now lived under the power of God. Everyone was submissive, everyone did their work that was assigned to them by the higher world. And they only strove for the higher life. They wanted to go up. Here they recognized the rule of God, His great power. They experienced the mighty, great princely beings who came down to us now and then, not to speak to each other personally, but rather to speak to us together. Now one day such a high spirit came to both of us and said, "We would like to talk about your future, and we think it would be good for you if we accelerate your path of ascent. We can accelerate it, but we will make you mutually dependent on each other." In a new life I was to become the mother of the older farmer's wife, they said to us. I would first return to the earthly realm, and then this former neighbor would become my child. So that was how it had been decided. And they promised to direct everything so that it would come true. It would still take some time until then, but not too long. They wanted to speed up this development. That, they said, was the best way for us to overcome what was still necessary. because in the depths of the soul of each of us there could still be something that was actually ready to flare up again quickly. And that was to be stopped in one earthly life, by the bond of love, as they called it, binding us together and destroying the rest of this distance, so that we would really come closer together in honest love. That is how it should happen. Yes, we cannot calculate time the way people calculate it, but time passes quickly for us. And so I do not want to describe in detail how it happened, but I just want to give you an insight into the following life. So I came to prepare for this new earthly life and then entered it. When I grew up and married, it so happened that this spirit came into my family and became my natural child. So I lived in contented circumstances, and my husband and I were happy with the child, because it was our only child. As a human being, I had no idea what the connection was between this child and me. But this child was taken from us by death at a very early age. It only lived to be 15 years old. It was our only child, and our whole love was devoted to this child. And the pain was great when we had to give it away. Well, this child went into a beautiful spiritual world. It was raised and guided there by the angels of God, and it was only waiting to be allowed to receive its parents. Now I must explain that it was only after I entered the other world that the connections that had bound us together were revealed to us. The daughter knew nothing about it. She had no idea about her previous life. It was kept hidden from her until I returned. And none of this was revealed and explained to us immediately after my return, but only after a certain period of purification. Only then were we brought together and talked about our previous life and the connections. But what had happened in that previous life was now completely irrelevant to us, because we were happy that we had found each other again. Because in the first period after my return I still felt like the mother of this child, who was no longer a child, and this daughter also saw me as her former mother on earth. The bond of togetherness developed so much love that we were completely indifferent to what had happened before. For us, the last thing that happened was of the greatest importance. We were attached to each other in love and connected, and only this love should count. This love should now cover everything else. So we didn't want to talk about our past sins, but we only wanted to talk about the future. And so we were both able to overcome so much in our souls. In the new life, all hatred and all disunity were overcome by love. The new life gave this strength in love through the bond of togetherness that nothing could separate us. We belonged together. When my husband, my father, returned home, we were all allowed to live together for a while. We were all happy. Now we also had much greater opportunities to look into the future, to talk about the future. We tried to plan for the future, we were allowed to. So people were happy with us, with the life we had lived, as one can say from a spiritual point of view. We had tried to live according to Christian principles, we had not harmed anyone, so we had gone from the previous life to the next one. We have taken a big step forward. We have overcome so much. We were then told that my husband had voluntarily taken on the task of sharing this fate with me because of the early death of our child. Because, as we were told, it was predestined that the loss of this child would cause us so much pain, but that through this pain the bond of love would be strengthened. By voluntarily taking on this task, my husband had also done various things for himself and thereby accelerated his own development. Only after our last passing did we gain a much broader overview of the spiritual laws, of God's order, of God's love and of everything that is done by God's spirit world, by the angels. We were thus able to look into the plans and we were allowed to make a certain contribution to our future, to chart our own paths for the future, of course only with the consent of the higher beings, so that it remains within the framework of what is permitted. So I am now happy in my world. I live happily with my family and with many others too. I have been asked to explain all this to you in this detailed way. I was strengthened by a spirit of God so that I could have these memories again. They were given back to me, because the past fades with time. The spirit world of God, however, has the ability to uncover the past again and again, no matter how far back it is. but it only does so when it serves a higher purpose. That is why I have been given the opportunity to describe it in this way. Because I do not want to be reminded of that time, but I only want to hold on to the beautiful, noble and lofty things that help me and those around me to reach the spiritual heights, that enable us to find the way upwards and to live in a way that pleases God and to be effective helpers and servants in the plan of salvation. Our thinking should only be directed towards this. Our thoughts, our whole strength, our whole concentration should only be directed towards the higher goals for the future. And we want to let the past be the past. I have tried to explain this to you as best as I could. I am now returning, and our brother Joseph will speak. So may God bless you, may He give you the strength to recognize His laws. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. Well, dear brothers and sisters, questions have certainly arisen in you, and you would like to ask me the same. Dear spirit friend Joseph, it would be interesting for us to hear how a spirit being can perceive the future. Joseph, I have already been able to explain to you that it is possible for us to recognize events that will take place at a certain time or in a certain future. But for us spirits, our view of the future is limited. Not every spirit is able to see, let's say, simply hundreds of years into the future. There are high spirits who have this possibility, but ascending spirits are always limited. But they can have an insight into the future, into what significant things will happen in the next few days, weeks or perhaps even in 2 or 3 years. But then it is determined in advance by the spiritual world that it will happen in this way, and then it is guided by the higher beings so that it happens in this way or in a similar way. When an event is predetermined, then the spirits of God work hand in hand and must calculate these times accordingly and put together the necessary elements so that this event can take place. But it does not necessarily have to be the case that it is said in advance that this or that event will definitely take place on this day and at this or that hour. But if something is determined in the spiritual realm with absolute certainty, then it can be calculated precisely. It can be said, let's say, a few hours or a few days in advance, maybe even a week in advance. So it must first be determined in the spiritual realm, that is time and place, then it can be calculated. If some catastrophe is imminent, but we don't yet know when it will happen, the higher spirits know about it. For they determine, they have insight into this event, these are the very highest spirits. You know the hierarchy, it is not possible for every level to have this insight. For you people do not know what your high government decided, let's say, yesterday, it also takes time until it has announced it, published what has been decided. It is similar in the spiritual realm. People talk about what is happening, they say, it will happen, fate has become ripe, and then it can happen that the time and place can be determined days or weeks in advance. Dear Joseph, do the greatest events also have to be brought into a certain correlation with the planetary constellation? Joseph, you must understand it like this, there are destinies that are firmly drawn in God's spiritual plan, everyone agrees on that, it is firmly drawn, the plan is fixed, and it will happen. But then there are also destinies that do not necessarily have to come true. These destinies may have been made dependent on other events or deeds or works of man. So you have to differentiate. You have to differentiate between events that are absolutely fixed and unchangeable and events that can be changed or postponed. Thank you, dear spirit Joseph. End of recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geist Eichwelt. Spirit teacher Joseph indicated in his answer to questions that Adelaide's penultimate life on Earth as a crone baron was about 300 years ago. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Adelaide and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Headline, next case. March 4, 1964. The missionary Katharina, spiritual support in an earthly prison camp. Blessings of a worthy fiefdom. Control spirit. God bless you. I am the control. Dear brothers and sisters, A spirit sister named Katharina is speaking to you. May God's blessing fill you in this hour. God bless you. Katharina. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, today I would like to first make two sisters happy, and I am doing this on behalf of our spiritual brother Linus. I would like to give you a soul picture. Even though I am speaking to you for the first time, I am not a stranger in this community. I have often worked with you, helped you, I have been at your service, in the community with the others. Now I would like to explain the soul picture of this sister here in the front row, the soul picture as it is today, a little basket with stones in it, and these stones are blooming. This is of course related to the future life, and it is advisable to think about what meaning it has - stones that are blooming. It gives you, dear sister, an answer to many things. You may have to meditate on it a little more yourself, and it will become clearer to you. But I would also like to tell you one thing, the name of your guardian spirit, Finilla. Remember this name well. We are in contact with each other. The basket with the stones and the stones are blooming, beautiful flowers are growing out of these stones. Make sure that they always remain in this splendor, these flowers. This will mark out your whole path in life. That is one thing. Can you understand it, dear sister? Not quite yet, but I will try to understand it, and perhaps Finilla will help me. Thank you very much. Katharina, yes. And now to the other sister in the middle, I have a greeting for you. You won't have to ask long where this greeting comes from. I would like to tell you one thing, that your life partner has now played this concert that he had been preparing in the spiritual world with his spiritual friends. Perhaps you still remember that our siblings had already drawn your attention to the brother with the harp. This brother with the harp accompanies him. You are interested in who he met. That was, as I was told, explained to you straight away, already said. But can you imagine what desire he had as a musician? He admired a musician and asked about him. He has not yet met him, but he will meet him. That is his wish and it will come true. Out of gratitude for his devotion to us, this wish will be fulfilled. He will meet this musician and play with him. That is a message for you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Katharina, you should not be sad. Then I have to say that he tuned the violin, which is precious, differently. He came into the house and realized that it had to be tuned differently and he tuned it. Perhaps later you will find out more from these words and understand better what was said to you in this hour. Thank you. Katharina, and now to my task. Our brother has already announced my name, Katharina is my name. I was a missionary and the spiritual world was happy with my life. I had a nice homecoming, there was a wonderful reunion, not a particularly happy reunion with my closest relatives, but a reunion with the heavenly messengers. They held a celebration in my honor, and I was happy that God was pleased with me. But it also became clear to me that my work in the spiritual world is not finished, that new tasks await. It was obvious to me that one cannot sit back and do nothing in God's world either. As a missionary, one had to pray a lot for divine protection, as a human being one had the feeling of being accompanied by a spirit of God. One always begged to be protected by the angels. And so it was a joy for me to see all these angels who had accompanied me through life in the world beyond. What joy! They greeted me with the words, "The lovely Katharina is coming." But now, these words were also heard by others, and it soon seemed to me as if people remembered it when the higher spiritual world was happy about the return of one of its brothers and sisters. Because very soon the news spreads to the various heavens that someone called so and so has come. And those who are less fortunate then try to approach the lucky ones, that is, they ask for someone to visit them. They pass this request on to their spiritual leaders, they are always interested in who has returned from earth and whether people were satisfied with them. Because they know that heaven pays high rewards if it is satisfied with a person's life. And that they can make many things come true and that the angels of God are much more lenient when they ask for something. That is why they also turn to me. The request came from everywhere that I would like to visit this person, that person, and of course there were also people among them that I had had dealings with in life. I was supposed to visit them too, and I did so. I went to them and promised to help them as best I could. But I also wanted to find out about my family and relatives. My parents had been there to greet me, but they had soon said goodbye again, and I had seen that they were not particularly happy. But I also saw that they were counting on me, that I should help them in their ascent. But this also took time. And so I wanted to devote myself first to those who needed it most. I had a brother who was also in the spiritual world and who was not doing well at all. I wanted to support him. He had once been my biological brother, he was very close to me. I wanted to do something for him, I wanted to at least try. And so I found my way to him, because the news had reached him that I was coming, and he had asked me to visit him. I didn't find him in a particularly pleasant state. I felt sorry for him. He hadn't believed other spirit beings who had also meant well for him. But when he saw me, he hugged me and was full of joy and said, "If you're doing well, Katharina, then I'll do everything I can to get on with it. Now I want to believe you, because you really are so beautiful and because you were a good person too." And he said that they all, and by that he meant himself, as well as his parents and all his relatives, knew what tasks someone who carries out this office, of a missionary, takes on. He let me guide him. Then he said to me, "You know, it's not just me who's unhappy where I am, Grandfather isn't doing well either." I remembered that when he was alive, it was said that his brother and grandfather were so similar to each other. Yes, truly, they were similar in all their natures. My brother was a farmer, and so was my grandfather, and my brother was not particularly popular in the area, with his neighbors. He had done a lot of things wrong. I don't want to go into that, because you can tell when people say that he is not well. Now he asked me for help and said, "Can't you do something for grandfather too?" So I asked about him and they showed me the way to him. He was full of joy because he remembered me so well. He was extremely happy because he secretly hoped to get help from me. So when I came to him he said, "Katharina, you must stay with me, you must not leave me. You must show me the way up, you must make the way easier for me. I will do everything you say, but you must stay here." He believed he had every right to demand this, because he claimed that I was, after all, his grandchild and had to obey him. But now I had to explain to him that in heaven one had to obey God, the spirits who stand in the name of God and carry out the tasks there for him, and that I could not do what he asks of me, according to his will. Well, I had to leave them both behind. I wanted to find out first how I could help my brother and grandfather. So I went to my siblings, with whom I was allowed to live, and they advised me. They explained, "First you have to make sure that the two of them find a place in God's order. It is natural that they should lay down some of their burdens." They explained to me that the two of them had to go through a purification process. It would not be enough to approach them with loving and comforting words, but they also had to lay down the difficult things that they had done in life, and so their spiritual life was not easy either, so it would not work without laying down the burden. That seemed clear to me, but I hoped that I could bring some relief to the two of them if I could give them my support and spend more time with them than with any other being. I asked, "May I take special care of these two?" I was allowed to do so. But I was also asked by other people, I should come to others too. So my whole activity consisted of offering consolation, giving some love to those who were so poor in love. But first of all it was my job to make things easier for these two, to pave the way. So I managed to bring grandfather and brother together. The two were already thrilled that they could be together. And the brother really had to admire grandfather. He still remembered him as an old man with a beard, and now grandfather no longer had a beard. He wasn't old either. My brother and grandfather were, so to speak, equally young. They both looked young. Now I had to show the two of them the way, and they both agreed to do what I said, They wanted to do everything just because I told them to, because they loved and valued me. Well, that's how the task began.